Well, back in 2020, the Canadian Coalition came together, and the coalition comprises of a diverse array of communities and organizations that represent those who have experienced online vitriol firsthand. We know it. We talk about it almost every week, how crazy the online hatred is when it comes to a number of different topics. But the one that we wanted to get into today surrounds a bill that is right now in Ottawa. It is the Online Harms Bill, known as C-63, and it is getting a lot of organizations, including this Canadian Coalition, behind it, saying that this is something that absolutely unequivocally needs to get pushed through. To talk a little bit more about this, the executive director from the Mosaic Institute, Lee Nattercatch. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure. So we see, you know, a lot of things go to Ottawa. Some of them make their way through, some of them don't. But every once in a while, a bill needs a push. Why does the Canadian Coalition think that this is the right bill to go all the way through?
Yeah, so, you know, I think it really, this is something we've been advocating for years alongside many other coalitions and advocacy groups. We know that, you know, online hate is a barrier to free expression, social and democratic participation. And it really, you know, disproportionately affects racialized folks, women, 2S LGBTQIA communities and faith groups. And so, you know, with the rise of hate and polarization within Canada, it's time to actually put legislation behind it. We are really behind as a country. And so this is a long-awaited push in the right direction.
I think when I, you know, look into this, women, radicalized Canadians, these are the targets right now that are really taking the heat. Is it something where you think, boy, we got to get this bill pushed through quickly? Some people will say, well, you're taking away the free speech, but I don't look at this bill that way.
Yeah, you know, it is a pretty broad-based bill. You know, there's a few components to it. The really core of it is really around, you know, requiring action from social media companies to fulfill three duties to protect youth and people from hate. And the other components of it really, you know, embody creating, you know, different commissions and ombudsperson roles to oversee this work. But also, yeah, it does touch on changes to the criminal code as well as the Canadian Human Rights Act. You know, one of those pieces is really just adding a definition of hatred to the criminal code, which is one of the biggest problems that we've had in terms of agreeing on a you know, broad-based definition so that we know what it is that we're talking about, because there are different definitions across institutions and organizations. So, you know, I know there is some concern from some groups around the far-reaching effects of this bill, but I think, you know, it is timely. It needs to be acted on, and, you know, we are happy to work with organizations to get it right. You know, there's no such thing as perfection, but I think, again, this is touching on all of the pieces that we've been calling for several years.
And I know the Mosaic Institute, you guys are big on amplifying the voices for people in Canada. You have programs, you have dialogues, you have research. There's a lot of different things that you do. But I guess, Lee, the biggest question is, how much have you seen this incrementally increase over maybe even just the last 5 years? Because we all know that it's been there. But as you mentioned just a second ago, it feels like over the last year or two, it's been amplified some.
Absolutely. You know, yeah, Mosaic Institute has a mission to dismantle prejudice. And so we really work not only as part of larger coalitions and partnerships, which is where we can be, you know, as effective in our own work, but staying close to community groups. And so we really are a platform for groups to identify issues of prejudice and to take action on them. And we hear from communities that we work with across the country around the rise in particularly anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, anti-Palestinian hate, you know, 2S LGBTQIA prejudice. These are really acute issues that have emerged in the last few years. And I think that, you know, as you said, it has always been there. But I think, you know, again, it's really becoming much more visible, much more acknowledged. I think the spread and the scale, because of growing media platforms, really has just blown it out of the water. So again, this is just as timely as ever and as urgent an issue as ever.
You know, when you look at your staff, it's funny, I was perusing your website before we had this conversation. I said, boy, they're extremely diverse. There's a lot of women on your staff as well. Do you guys ever sit at the table, be it on a weekly or monthly basis, and just say, boy, when did the world get like this? Because I know organizations like you, I mean, this is the focus. You guys are constantly looking for change and looking to help those in need. But is there ever a moment of like a come to Jesus moment, for say, where you're kind of like, boy, never thought it would get to this level?
We have this conversation among board and team all the time. I mean, we're a very human first organization, and that's something one of the reasons why I so feel privileged to sit in the seat that I am. But as you said, the open dialogue is something we nurture not only out in community but within our own organization. So me as a leader, hearing experiences of our board members, of our team, who are so closely connected to the communities that they live and reside in and represent, but also are part of. We have daily conversations, and I think that, you know, online harms related to that, you know, online or in person, they are interrelated. I take very seriously the experiences of our team, what they're living with every day and experiencing, and what they're bringing to me in terms of the program delivery and close relationships we all have. So, you know, part of that is that taking care of yourself and that self-care and mental health and well-being is something that is part of our organization. And I think, you know, part and parcel of this bill, too, of everyone who is trying to do the work and trying to make positive change, it absolutely is overwhelming. We hear this loud and clear from our students that we work with, particularly in schools, the sense of overwhelm. But, you know, what our mission is really to help people within their sphere of influence make change. You know, even if it's a small act, every act helps around how we can navigate these really challenging and complex times.
Lee Natterkatch is the executive director with the Mosaic Institute, joining us here on Weekends on CKNW. Lee, you know, some people would say we're very fortunate in this country that we have the freedoms to, you know, surf the web and do all these things. And, you know, the Liberal government in particular will get slammed every time that there is something that impedes us from having complete access to the web. But I would like to think, and again, you can agree or disagree with this, that there comes a time where you have to say, okay, enough is enough when it comes to this. The hate that is out there, the aliases that are out there, it's just too much, and it's really damaging. Like, even right now, the Jewish community is really suffering with this. We hear about this with those that are Palestinian as well, that a lot of the hate isn't actually coming from people in Canada. So a bill like this actually begins the process of a shield around some of the things that our most vulnerable are facing. Do you think that's enough, that Bill C-63, if it gets pushed through, that's enough? Or this is just the first step in what may be a broader shield down the road?
Yeah, I think it's one part of a multi-pronged approach that we see is necessary to addressing these issues. You know, we recently released an Understanding Hate in Ontario research report that, you know, over half of the folks, it was 65% of Ontarians at that point had experienced hate in some form, and online platforms were absolutely part of that. And most of it was perpetrated by strangers within, you know, our own communities. And so, you know, what does that mean? I think the implications of global events and how that resonates and impacts Canada, you know, we are not exempt. And I think, you know, when I look at what is protected by the Canadian, you know, freedom of expression is protected by the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. But I think there are consequences for speech and what you're saying, right? So there are benchmarks that cover that freedom of expression, if that, you know, people are concerned about, certainly. But there does need to be protections in place, because, you know, when you look at what are the consequences of you know, unregulated platforms and systems, it can result in things, you know, radicalization online is a huge problem. And so that, you know, when we look at what the devastating impacts in terms of, you know, the Off-Cell family murder in London, the radicalization of the perpetrator of that horrible crime, the Toronto van attack, they were all radicalized online. And so there do need to be checks and balances. I think, you know, in conversation, we won't know the impacts of the bill until these regulations are in place and, you know, what that means. But I think it's definitely, you know, that's going to be the conversation in the coming months.
Yeah, it's a conversation that's going to continue. But your insight, second to none. Lee, I appreciate you doing this. Where I am, it's wee hours of the morning, but I thank you for making me a part of your Saturday as well. Let's talk again, and thank you for the discussion.
Thank you so much, and have a great rest of your day.
Thank you. You as well.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.